And finally, I said to him, why don't we try basing the requirements on energy, right? Just like they do in a pig or a chicken, right? And it was interesting because, you know, that meant we had to do a good job resolving most things that went on in the rumen, right? Like microbial yield, RUP flow, amino acid concentrations of everything or content. But lo and behold, after a few months of trial and error, we ended up with grams per mcal of energy. And that's basically what we're using. We re-derived it in the current version. So, you know, in CNCPS version 6.5, you know, our optimum numbers are 1.19 grams of methionine per mcal of ME. Lysine is 3.2 grams per mcal of ME. And the histidine needs to be at least equal to the methionine.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Adasail, provider of SmartAmine M, the best-in-class rumen-protected methionine product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production. Kemin invites you to optimize your herd's performance. Dive in at kemin.com/dairy. Virdus Nutrition, the fatty acid people. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit barnes-na.com/animal nutrition. Vitagro, the gut health experts, rumen protected, right where it matters. Sponsored by S. Milko Inc., specialists in calf and baby farm animal nutrition, delivering precision formulated milk replacers.
So hello, everyone. This is Luis Ferreiro with the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt podcast. And today we will be diving into this very important topic, which is amino acid utilization by dairy cows. And I think I'm cutting that short by saying utilization, because I think we'll be discussing probably more than that. But to discuss this important topic with us today, we have Dr. Mike Van Amberg, which is a professor from Cornell University and one of the main specialists for this topic worldwide. So said that, Mike, thank you so much for joining us today. But before we get into some questions here and discussion, could you please provide a brief background about yourself?
Sure, Luis. Thanks for having me. Hi, everybody. I grew up in Ohio on a small dairy farm. Thought that's what I wanted to be, was a dairy farmer. Went to Ohio State in dairy science. Never ended up in that direction, right? So I've been at Cornell now for, this is my 30th year as being a professor, so a long time. And I think the thing that, you know, it's probably relevant to this conversation is for the last not quite 20 years, I've been leading the development and redevelopment of the CNCPS model.
At Barnes, we're more than just another feed additive company. We are driven by science, innovation, and an understanding of the challenges you face in the ever-changing world of animal agriculture. We are your trusted partner for new-to-market natural alternative to choline chloride, Colon Plus FC, as well as enzymes, prebiotics, probiotics, macro minerals. To learn more about our product offering, visit barnes-ne.com/animal nutrition. Together, there's always a better solution.
Oh, that's awesome. And since you mentioned about the CNCPS model, obviously we have to think about requirements for dairy cows. So what are the current requirements for lactating cows that we have related to essential amino acids?
Good question. You know, about 14 years ago now, we were, you know, the models had some commercial use much more lately, you know, but it was starting to be used, you know, late 2009, 2010. And there was also discussion about the NASM or the NRC, whatever you want to call it today. And, you know, we were challenged by the industry, some other industry leaders to say, hey, can you update this? Can you correct it? Can you do better? on amino acid supplies and requirements? And I said, I think so. You know, we need a little bit of resource. And, you know, I went out and found Ryan Higgs. I knew Ryan from his master's work, good quantitative skills. I had a couple other postdocs here, visiting professor. And we went about doing just what you asked, Louise. We went and said, hey, how can we do this? How can we do this better? And through really difficult conversations, because Ryan was doing a remarkable job with the team around him, but we kept hitting a roadblock where we just couldn't resolve it with the precision that we thought we needed to in a modern dairy cow. And finally, I said to him, why don't we try basing the requirements on energy, right? Just like they do in a pig or a chicken, right? And it was interesting because, you know, that meant we had to do a good job resolving most things that went on in the rumen, right? Like microbial yield, RUP flow, amino acid concentrations of everything or content. But lo and behold, after a few months of trial and error, we ended up with grams per mcal of energy. And that's basically what we're using. We re-derived it in the current version. So, you know, in CNCPS version 6.5, you know, our optimum numbers are 1.19 grams of methionine per mcal of ME, lysine is 3.2 grams per mcal of ME, and the histidine needs to be at least equal to the methionine. And some good nutritionists have fed back to us now and said, you know, probably do better with the histidine if it's at least 10 grams higher than the methionine, right? So that's interesting to me because we're at the point where we're already getting feedback suggesting that maybe our histidine efficiency is a little bit too high, right? And we should probably lower it a little bit. So, but that's how we all learn, right? So that's kind of where we're at. But we did it for all 10 essential amino acids, and that's what's in version 7 that nobody has really seen or played with yet.
Now, I think that's great that you are including all the different amino acids and giving nutritionists the opportunity to fine-tune diets more and more. Another interesting thing about amino acids is that very often we think about the potential improvements in milk protein production. But there is also data that support that there is also a stimulation of milk fat senses. Could you explain to us how do you see amino acids playing a role or not in milk fat synthesis?
That violates everything we thought about amino acids, right? It's not linear. So we stumbled into that whole thing, Luis. That was not that wasn't some hypothesis we had. You know, this all came about from a study where we were asked to reevaluate rumensin. You know, and Elanco came to us, you know, and I make a joke about it, you know, Elanco came to us several times and said, hey, we'd like you to do this titration. We haven't done one since we got approval. Cows have changed. Diets have changed. And I said no several times. And finally, they came back and their response was, we'd really like you to do this. You can feed whatever diet you would like, just has to be a modern diet. I'm like, okay, that's good. That means we could apply anything that we thought we learned before, right? So we did. We fed methionine and lysine and histidine at the levels that we were recommending. The cows consumed a little bit more than we thought. And it was fascinating to us. The first thing they did with those amino acids was increase de novo and mixed fatty acids. To the point that Dave Barbano, our you know, food scientist, milk chemist across the street from us here, called me up and said, you know, are those Holsteins? They must be Jerseys. And I said, no, you know, we had this big joke about them being Holsteins or Jerseys. He said, well, they can't be Holsteins because they don't make that much de novo and mixed fatty acids. And, you know, I had no idea what he meant until we opened up his 2019 Cornell Nutrition Conference paper where he published a bunch of data. And these Holsteins were a long ways, more than a standard deviation higher in those two fatty acids than any Holstein he had on his data set. And at the same time, they were in the top third of the Jerseys, right? So that's where we came upon this. So why? Why is that? Real quick. The why apparently, in the data is in the literature, you've got to go back over the last 10 years and read. But it looks like lysine specifically, but also histidine, cysteine, so serine, actually, a couple others, are involved in stimulating things like fatty acid synthetase and interacting with sterylalkaloid desaturase. And there's a couple papers that would actually imply that lysine induces the enzymes related to fatty acid synthesis. And, you know, in retrospect, that kind of makes sense because fatty acid synthesis is a protein synthetic activity. So even though we're not going to see the net outcome of those amino acids, we will see their requirements borne out by the need to build the enzymes, have carrier proteins, and do all of that. So I think that's where it's at, right? But caught us completely by surprise.
Well, I think that's a good thing, right? Because if we can see different responses with proper diet formulation, obviously I think that the producers can truly benefit from that.
Fortiva is moving beyond feed additives to create foundational ingredients that work with your dairy operation to support resilience and health. With proven technologies like Amulet and Efficient Z, Fortiva helps you address the toughest challenges in dairy production, from gut health to growth performance. Together, we can make animals more resilient in the face of future challenges. Learn how at FortivaImpact.com.
Said that, what do you think cows are capable to produce relative to milk, fat, and protein when you have a proper amino acid balanced diet?
That's a great question. I've actually asked one of our geneticists that question, Kurt Van Tessel. I called Kurt a while ago. We went to grad school together, and he's one of the three people responsible for genomic analysis, right? So if you want to trust anybody, ask one of those guys. And I called him up, and the question I wanted him to answer, and I'll come back to some numbers of what we're seeing right now. And it's the numbers that we're seeing is what prompted me to call him. But I said, when do we know if we have a new genotype of Holstein? And he laughed at me. And we had a long conversation, right? This is like an hour and a half conversation. But the quick answer is, he goes, every calf born today is a new genotype. Yeah. Wow wasn't the word that I said. Right. But that led to more conversation about lots of things related to amino acids, requirements, how fast they're changing, how often we have to look, and where we have to look. Yeah, but back to the capability. So we have herds. I live in Cayuga County. We have herds in Cayuga County when everything is working right. They're averaging, these are large herds too, and highly productive herds. They're averaging 5% milk fat in the bulk tank, right? And 3.6, 3.5, 3.6 true protein. So when you look at the range within the herd, you see animals hitting 6.5 and 6.6 and 6.7, right? These are mature cows, right? That's the other thing, you know, in this case, these are mostly mature cows that we're talking about, very high feed efficiency, very high conversion rates. I know that there's first lactation Holsteins in the state in a few herds where they have really shortened the generation interval, right, through in vitro fertilization, things like that. And they're looking at first lactation heifers hitting 7% milk fat, right? So what are they capable of? Well, I know that those diets are deficient in amino acids. So I don't know what they're capable of. They're showing us 6, 5, and 6 now. You know, it's probably at least another unit higher if we could figure out how to balance for all of the essential amino acids, right? The dilemma right now is that it seems like it's more energetically efficient to make the de novos than it is to make the protein, because if we look at the federal orders, you know, the federal order fat numbers, it doesn't matter. We're looking at federal order 1, federal order 30, or any of them. The fat is increasing at a great rate. The protein is not, right? So the real dilemma from a processor perspective is, how are we going to fix that protein and that relationship? But it looks, you know, so the fat fat looks like it's the easiest thing to make. And we got to figure out how to turn the protein on now. But their capability, I think, is I cannot hazard a guess, right? Because if you see a first lactation animal making close to 7% milk fat, and we know that we haven't fully amino acid optimized the diet, I have no idea where they can go.
Well, so I guess at a certain point, we're going to have to stop reporting 4% fat corrected milk and move to 5, 6, 7, or 8. So, because I believe we are outdated at this point, right? So
I agree with you. I agree with you. A lot of things that we thought we knew are outdated. Cows changing way too fast for us to keep up with it.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a good issue to have as far as we don't impair cow health with the extraordinary productivity, if you will, because I do think that there is a lot of room there for to continue to improve and make sure that we provide proper nutrition to those cows. Mike, thank you so much for bringing all this knowledge to us today. I'm sure that people at home will truly enjoy this discussion, and now they have a very good reason to dive into some research related to amino acids and how to properly formulate diets for high producing or high components producing dairy cows. Thank you at home for joining us today, and I hope to see you soon.